Sean Foley cared for his girlfriend Miranda very much. He knew she had a troubled childhood and wanted to protect her.
Mr. Foley, you said you were you could hear it, so you started recording it.
Correct.
Why?
It was him admitting to all the abuse and raping her growing up, and it was him talking. It was him acknowledging it, him talking about it. It was him admitting that he had done it.
That's Sean talking in court about Miranda's, quote, stepfather, Jimmy Shelton. Jimmy, a 44-year-old manager at a local Costco, was in a relationship with Miranda's mother, Dawn. They had been dating for more than 18 years. According to Miranda, Jimmy started sexually abusing her when she was just 12 years old. The abuse allegedly continued until she was 19, when she said it then became more of a transactional occurrence, which you'll hear more about later. In August 2018, police arrested Miranda, who was 25 years old, for failing to appear at a court hearing for a traffic violation. While Miranda was locked up, Jimmy and Dawn let Sean stay at their house. Sean, at 24 years old, was out of work and his car was broken down. Sean and Jimmy worked out a deal for Jimmy to get him a car, and then Sean would start working with him to help pay off the monthly payments. But in the early morning hours of August 28th, Jimmy had another idea, and it involved a proposition for Miranda.
But he started talking to her about all of this other stuff that had happened, and he started talking about paying her to watch her. And then he started talking about paying to watch her with other people.
That conversation didn't exactly come out of nowhere. Miranda will later testify and say that she uses her body to get things. According to her testimony, she's worked as an exotic dancer, taken adult videos, and sold pictures of herself. And her boyfriend Sean knew all of this. When Miranda was arrested, Jimmy and Dawn offered to put up the cash for Miranda's bond. On August 27th, Sean and Miranda's sister pick her up from jail around 8 p.m. They stop to get barbecue for dinner, then pick up alcohol from the liquor store. They drive home, where Sean, Jimmy, and Miranda drink, and they drink a lot. Night turns to midnight, midnight turns to morning, and dawn approaches. Sometime not long after 5 in the morning, Jimmy, Sean, and Miranda are sitting on the back porch of Jimmy's home. Sean's had a couple shots of vodka. Miranda's drank 2/3 of a bottle of vodka. And Jimmy's drinking Southern Comfort and sweet tea. Jimmy turns to Miranda and makes her a proposition. Miranda, knowing Sean won't like this, sends him inside to get her another shot of vodka. But Sean knows something is going on. He goes inside the house and then stands near an open window to listen. He gets out his phone and begins to record Miranda and Jimmy talking. Sean says he often films situations he thinks might be useful later. Sean starts narrating into the recorder, repeating back what Miranda and Jimmy are saying to each other. He sits, waits, and listens for 22 minutes and 47 seconds.
But he pulled her down onto his lap, and then they were whispering, and she tried to get back up, and he yanked her back down. And he just started, I guess, whispering. They were talking back and forth for a few minutes, and I just wanted her to get up and just get away from him because I didn't feel right. He reached down her pants and up her shirt, and wanted her to get away, and she didn't. She just looked off to the side and sat there.
Sean says he has seen Miranda with that stare before. He describes it as a sort of trance, and he attributes it to her dealing with traumatic flashbacks of being abused as a child. At this point, Sean says he couldn't just sit idly by.
I fucking swear to God. All that's on fucking recording. It's recording right now. I fucking swear to God, you sick fuck. You fuck with her again, and I will fucking drop you.
Sean pulls out a gun from his waistband and points it at Jimmy. Jimmy sort of laughs, and Miranda tells Sean to stop. But Sean says no. Jimmy then leans towards Sean as if he's trying to grab the gun. Then there's a scuffle.
No, that's too fucking much.
And then gunshots. This is Jillian, and you are listening to Court Junkie, episode 92. As all of you court junkies know, following criminal trials and court cases is definitely my passion, but sometimes I definitely need a break. So whenever I feel like I need a mental palate cleanser, my go-to refresher is this game called Best Fiends. Best Fiends is a puzzle game that you can play right on your phone. You go through all these levels, solving challenging puzzles and engaging your brain. It's a casual game that anyone can play, and it's really fun. Let's see, I've been playing it for a couple months now, and I'm currently at level 74. I had a doctor's appointment the other day, and while I was waiting for what seemed like forever in the waiting room, I just took out my phone and started playing Best Fiends. Before I knew it, the doctor was there. One other cool thing about it is that you don't need Wi-Fi to play it, so it's great for when you're without the internet, like on an airplane, for example. The game itself is also visually stimulating with its bright colors and fun characters. And Best Fiends updates the game monthly with new levels and events so it never gets old. Engage your brain with fun puzzles and collect tons of cute characters too. Best Fiends is a 5-star rated mobile puzzle game on the Apple App Store and Google Play. And you can download it now for free. That's Friends Without the R, Best Fiends. Now, everything you thought you knew is ancient history. Introducing Smithsonian Channel Plus, a new streaming service that presents history, mystery, science, and pop culture in a whole new light. From the rise and fall of the Roman Empire to the demise of the Titanic, from epic air disasters to the secrets behind King Tut's tomb, Smithsonian Channel Plus brings authentic original programming reviewed and fact-checked for accuracy by the experts at the Smithsonian Institution, which is pretty awesome with so much misinformation out there nowadays. New programs are added weekly to watch anytime, anywhere. One that I'm really looking forward to watching is Aerial America, which offers rare glimpses of America's most treasured landmarks, all seen from breathtaking heights. Pretty cool. Visit getscplus.com/courtjunkie to redeem this special offer. 50% off your first 3 months of Smithsonian Channel Plus. That's getscplus.com/courtjunkie to get 50% off your first 3 months. Check out Smithsonian Channel Plus today. Before we get started with today's episode, I just want to give a little disclaimer. This episode does include testimony about sexual violence, so listener discretion is advised. The shooting and aftermath were caught on tape by Sean's recorder.
He was molesting her. I have it all on recording.
Did you
shoot
him?
Yes, he was molesting her.
What?
I don't know. I fucking...
Miranda, come here now. I don't care. You still got a jail
time. Miranda, come here now. Miranda, come here now. He fucking rushed me. Come now. Come here now.
Sean calls 911 and tells dispatchers that Jimmy rushed him. He says Jimmy was molesting Miranda and her pants were down.
911, I'm in 808 Beaver Drive now. I fucking shots fired. My girlfriend's being molested by her stepdad. I need police here now. Shots fired, shots fired. They said, Miranda, come here now. Please come here. I was recording. He was trying to rape you for a fucking car.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. They said he's not breathing. Yes, sir. The guy that I fired on, he was trying to rape my girlfriend. Please, they're all on the phone right now. I need officers here now, sir. My name is Sean Foley. I'm an Army veteran, sir. Honorable discharge. I have my carry permit. I have it on recording. He was trying to rape my girlfriend for a fucking car. I came outside and told him to stop. She pulled her pants up. He rushed me. I opened fire, sir. I need officers here now. Please.
Miranda's mother and sister begin CPR on Jimmy while they wait for emergency medical services to arrive. But they're unsuccessful. Jimmy dies on his back porch from 4 gunshot wounds. Sean claims he shot Jimmy in self-defense and says he was protecting Miranda, but authorities believe otherwise. They say Sean planned this out, waiting for the right opportunity to shoot Jimmy. The Blount County Sheriff's Office announced Sean's arrest the next day, and he was ultimately charged with first-degree murder. He went to trial in August 2019. Prosecutor Ryan Desmond gave opening statements on behalf of the state of Tennessee.
22 minutes and 47 seconds. That's how long Sean Foley had to think about what he wanted to do with Jimmy Shelby. For 22 minutes and 47 seconds, he hid, he concealed himself, and he recorded a conversation between Jimmy Shelton and Miranda Goddard, Sean Foley's girlfriend. Over the course of that 22 minutes and 47 seconds, Sean Foley decided that Jimmy Shelton had to die. And after that 22 minutes and 47 seconds, Sean Foley thought it was the perfect situation and the perfect time for him to do the killing.
He said Sean didn't have a job, didn't have money, and didn't have a vehicle. He didn't have much. What did he have? His girlfriend Miranda, a phone, and a .40-caliber handgun with a fully loaded magazine. On that August night, prosecutors say Miranda was using her body to negotiate a deal with Jimmy for a car. The state claims she was 25 years old and was consenting. Desmond said Sean was listening to them talk about their past, talk about what they're going to do and what's going to happen to make this deal go through.
And he decides he ain't having it. He's going to take matters into his own hands. He's going to remove Jimmy from the equation.
He said Sean then waited until Jimmy and Miranda started to make good on their deal. Then, on Jimmy's own porch, Sean raised his gun and pointed it at him.
And that's when he threatens him. He threatens him and says, "If you touch her again, I'm going to drop you. I am going to drop you." I don't know whether it's courage or foolishness or just intoxication, but Jimmy Shelton doesn't cower to this man pointing a gun in his face, Sean Foley. Even though Sean Foley has a gun pointed at him and Jimmy Shelton's hands are empty, he's wearing gym shorts, a t-shirt, and sandals. He's got nothing. Miranda walks up. What does she say? "Sean, stop. Sean, stop." Sean ain't having it. And when Jimmy doesn't cower, when Jimmy doesn't back down, Sean Foley unloads on him. Bang, 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 bang. 8 shots. 8 shots on the back porch of this home with multiple completely innocent people and children inside. 8 shots, his girlfriend just a couple feet away. Sean unloads 8 times. 4 of these shots strike Jimmy. 2 in the chest, 1 in the neck, 1 in the side. 4 of them strike all sorts of objects that are right around him.
The defense had a different version of events. Attorney Aaron Kimsey presented opening statements on Sean's behalf. He said molestation, manipulation, and mischaracterization, that's what this case is. He told the jury that Jimmy molested Miranda since she was 12 years old and that it continued. He said the state is correct and that Miranda is 25 now, but he said the damage caused still remains. He told the jury that Jimmy is the one who waited. He waited until Miranda was drunk. He put one hand down her pants, the other up her shirt. Sean stood inside recording him confessing to molesting her throughout her entire childhood. He said Sean saw her lock up, and went out there to stop a rape. He didn't shoot him through the window while he was sitting there watching, he said. That's how you premeditatedly kill someone. Instead, he said when Sean got out on the porch, he threatened Jimmy by saying, if you ever touch her again, I'll drop you. He's not going out there to kill him, he said. But then something else happens, he told the jury. Jimmy, who is 6'3" and 220 pounds, crosses the porch. He said Jimmy was shot 4 times because he attacked Sean, all because Sean recorded him confessing to molesting Miranda, something that would put him in jail for a very long time. My client thought he was going to kill him. Kill her, he said. While on the phone with 911, dispatchers tell Sean to stand at the foot of the driveway to wait for deputies to arrive. They tell him to put his gun in the mailbox. Here's more from that 911 call.
Miranda, come up here now. We have to wait for the officers. Come here. Miranda, come here. My identification has been filed, sir, but my name is Sean Foley. I have a carry permit, sir. Miranda, come here now. Now, please, come here. We have to go. By the way, we have to wait for officers. Come on. That man is not going to fucking touch you anymore. The man was going to race you for a fucking car. But the only reason I pulled the trigger, sir, is because you fucking rushed me. And you reached my fucking weapon. I pulled the trigger about 7 or 8 times. I don't know how many times I pulled the trigger, sir.
It's a little muffled, but Sean is trying to get Miranda to come by him as he's telling the dispatcher that his identification is inside the home. He tells Miranda that they have to wait for officers to arrive. Come here. That man is not going to fucking touch you anymore, he says. That man was going to rape you for a fucking car, he tells her. He then tells the dispatcher that the only reason he pulled the trigger was because Jimmy fucking rushed him. Sean stands on the driveway in front of the house with his hands up as deputies approach. Miranda can be heard crying in the background of the call. He's dead. What did you do?
What did you do? Miranda, it's okay.
The state called Miranda to the stand. She said she's known Jimmy for 15 years and considered him her stepdad. In August 2015, her daughter was 3 years old. Her sister was pregnant, and her sister's other daughter was 4 years old. Sean's daughter was also 4 years old. On the night of the shooting, she said all three of the girls were sleeping over at the house. The girls, Miranda's sister, and Miranda's mother had all gone to sleep. Sean, Jimmy, and Miranda were hanging out on the back porch.
Me and Jimmy were talking. I was asking him why he did the things that he did in the past, and it just escalated from there.
Okay. When you say it escalated from there, what do you mean?
Propositioned me in order to get a car.
Okay. Were you a willing participant in that conversation?
Yes.
Was there anything about that conversation that was forced by Mr. Jimmy Shelton?
No.
Did he ever force himself on you?
No.
Now, what was the deal that you all were working out?
He was trying to look at me and maybe touch me or have me get with some friends and, like, record stuff so that he could see it or him record it himself. I don't really remember all the details of the conversation.
Okay. She said as the conversation progressed, Jimmy put his hand on her leg. Her pants were down. That's when Sean walked out and told Jimmy to stop touching her. She said she pulled her pants up and Jimmy stood up. And that's when Sean started yelling at Jimmy.
Did Jimmy ever tackle Sean?
I didn't see it happen.
Okay. What caused the defendant to shoot Jimmy Shelton?
I'm not sure.
And did you ask Sean for help?
No.
Did you call for help?
No.
Did you scream for help?
No.
Miranda testified that she didn't need help from Sean that night. But on cross-examination, Sean's defense attorney asked her if the contact between her and Jimmy really was consensual.
Did Mr. Shelton ever touch you sexually without your consent?
Yes.
When was that?
When I was a child.
How old were you?
Between 12 and 19.
Okay. And for some reason it stopped when you were 19?
No, but it was different.
How was it different?
Because we made arrangements. We made deals.
That point, he started paying you for it?
Yeah, in one way or another.
She said when she was 19, they started making deals and that he started paying her for it one way or another. She told the jury that she drinks a couple times a week. That night, she recalled drinking 2/3 of a bottle of vodka.
Do you remember being placed in handcuffs?
Yes.
Remember being placed in the back of the car, police
yes.
car?
Yes.
Okay. Remember what she said in the back of that police car?
Not really. I was freaking out.
Then a question from the jury.
At what point did the defendant unholster the weapon, before or after Jimmy rushed him?
He came out with the gun already up.
The state also called Miranda's mother, Dawn McGinnis, to the stand. Dawn said she went to bed around 11 p.m. that night. At about 12:30, she woke up and saw that Jimmy wasn't in bed yet. She went to remind him that he had to work early.
I said, honey, you got to be up in the morning. You work on morning shift. And at that time, Miranda came running out, hugging me and said, I love you, Mom. And she just had a shower and everything. And so her and Sean and Jimmy were there in the dining room kitchen area.
And when was the next time you saw Jimmy after that?
He came in about 5 minutes after that, and he kissed me and told me that he loved me. He'd be in just a little bit.
Dawn woke up again around 3:30 and saw Jimmy, Sean, and Miranda hanging out and having a good time, so she went back to bed. She woke up a third time around 6 to the sound of gunshots. At first, she thought it was Jimmy shooting for fun in the backyard. She went out the back door and saw him laying on the deck. Miranda was curled up in a ball, crying and saying, no, no, no. Dawn said she saw Sean on the deck too, with a phone next to his ear in one hand and a gun in the other. She said she heard Sean hollering on the phone that Jimmy had been molesting Miranda. That's when Dawn went up to him.
And I remember just going over and kind of screaming at him, it doesn't matter what a person's doing, you don't have the right to kill him. Because I thought that Jimmy was dead at this time. I didn't know he was on the phone with 911. I just knew that he had the phone to his ear.
Dawn said she then went inside to call 911. She felt for a pulse on Jimmy, but couldn't find one. Police dispatchers instructed her to do CPR, and so she began to do compressions.
And did your attempts to administer CPR have any effect on Jimmy?
No.
Did you see Jimmy do anything?
Before I went back in the house to get my phone, he turned his head and he looked at me. And then he took his last breath.
When deputies arrived at the house, they asked if there were any other guns on the property. Dawn showed them Jimmy's handgun that was still locked away in their bedroom safe. In their cross-examination, Sean's defense attorneys focused on Jimmy's alleged sexual abuse. They asked Dawn how long Jimmy had been molesting Miranda, and she said she doesn't know, that he never admitted that he did. She also said Miranda never told her he did either. They asked her if she had ever spoken to the police about Miranda being molested, and she said she doesn't remember. But she does remember a time in 2009 when DCS came out. She said her ex-mother-in-law had made accusations. She was asked if teachers at the school had ever made allegations, and she said not in 2009. The prosecution then objected to that line of questioning, and it was sustained. Sean was claiming self-defense. He said Jimmy rushed him and he tried to stop an attempted rape. In order to prove this to the jury, he would take the stand himself. More on that right after this quick break from today's sponsors. When I talk about stamps.com, I always wonder who in the world still goes to the post office and why. Stamps.com brings the post office right to you. No need to interrupt your workday to fight traffic to get there, especially now during the holidays when it's extra busy with people sending holiday cards and gifts. Stamps.com brings all the services of the U.S. Postal Service right to your computer. Whether you're a small office sending out invoices, an online seller shipping out products, or even a warehouse sending thousands of packages a day, Stamps.com can handle it all with ease. Not to mention, you can save money with discounts that you can't even get at the post office. You get 5 cents off every first-class stamp and up to 40% off priority mail. Stamps.com is a no-brainer, saving you time and money. It's no wonder over 700,000 small businesses already use Stamps.com. Don't spend a minute of your holiday season at the post office this year. Sign up for Stamps.com instead. There's no risk, and with my promo code, CORT, you get a special offer that includes a 4-week trial plus free postage and a digital scale. No long-term commitments or contracts. Just go to stamps.com, click on the microphone at the top of the homepage, and type in CORT. That's stamps.com, enter code CORT. Stamps.com, never go to the post office again. Own iconic luxury items at unreal values with The RealReal, the leading reseller of authenticated luxury consignment from top designers. Shop from designers like Louis Vuitton, Gucci, Rolex, Cartier, and hundreds more at up to 90% off retail. New arrivals come in daily, and every single item is 100% expert authenticated by The RealReal's team of experts. Shop and consign women's and men's luxury fashion, as well as fine jewelry, watches, art, and home. Shop online, visit one of their original stores in Soho or West Hollywood, or their newest location at 870 Madison Avenue in New York. You may also visit one of their luxury consignment offices in Chicago, Dallas, Miami, San Francisco, and Washington, D.C. In-store new customers receive an automatic $25 off at checkout. I am a big fan of The RealReal. I love scrolling through their app and checking out all their new items that come in daily. One day I'm checking out their winter coats, and another day I'm looking at sunglasses and belts. Shop in-store, online, or download the app and get 20% off select items with the promo code REAL. That's therealreal.com, promo code REAL for 20% off select items. When Sean got up to the stand, he told the jury about an incident where Jimmy had pointed a gun at him. He explained that while Miranda was in jail, he moved into Jimmy and Dawn's house. He said on the night he was moving in, he showed up late. He had texted Dawn, but when he got to the house at 1 a.m., the door was locked. Sean knocked, and about 15 seconds later, the door opened. He said he saw a barrel of a gun pointed at him, and then Jimmy said that Sean was lucky he didn't blow his goddamn head off for showing up that late. On the night of the shooting, Sean said he heard Jimmy and Miranda talking in the garage in what they called the man cave. Sean was secretly listening in on them. But then he tripped and fell, and Jimmy came out asking, "What the fuck are you doing?" Sean lied and said he was just out there to smoke a cigarette. They all continued to drink, and then they went to the back porch.
While they were talking, that was when they were talking about the abuse, and since I could clearly hear them, the window was already cracked, so I set my phone next to it so that way I could record it. While they were talking, it was just about everything that had happened in the past and how, I think she said her aunt and uncle had raped her and how they had known about it. And then she went into, before he was even getting to that point with her, when she was a kid. And then he started talking about the car, and she was asking what he was getting at.
Sean's attorney asked him why he started recording their conversation. He said it was because it was Jimmy admitting to all of the abuse, to raping her when she was growing up. He said he was admitting it and apologizing for it. Sean then watched as Jimmy pulled her onto his lap.
But he pulled her down onto his lap, and then they were whispering, and she tried to get back up, and he yanked her back down. And he just started, I guess, whispering. They were talking back and forth for a few minutes, and I just wanted her to get up and just get away from him because I didn't feel right. He reached down her pants and up her shirt, and I wanted her to get away, and she didn't. She just looked off to the side and sat there.
Sean described seeing Miranda stare like that twice before. One time, they were play wrestling, and when he grabbed her by the wrists, she closed her eyes and stopped moving. After he stopped touching her, she sat up and started crying. She told him it was because of stuff from the past. Another time, they were being rough in the bedroom, and this time when he grabbed her by her wrists, she collapsed onto the bed. Sean said when he saw Miranda with that same stare while sitting on Jimmy's lap, he knew she wasn't going to be able to get away from him.
What happened after that?
I knew that I had to get her away from him. So I grabbed my phone, so it was on me. And I went out the back door. And when I went out the door, he pushed her off of him. And she pulled her pants up and said, "Baby," and ran to me. And when she was running to me, he shifted his weight. He kicked his right leg out, and he leaned back in the chair, and he put his hand into his pocket. And I thought he was drawing a gun on me.
Did you ever see a gun? Did you ever see him with a gun?
With a gun, yes. This night specifically.
Yes. Did you have a gun right then?
He didn't get out before I drew mine.
Okay.
I was concealed, and when he did that, I just drew mine. I didn't know what to do.
What'd you say to him?
I told him that I was still recording. I told him that I was recording, and the whole thing was on recording, and that I was still recording. And I thought if he knew that I was still recording, he wouldn't do anything because it's on recording.
Sean said he held Miranda's hand while she stood behind him. He walked back towards the door, trying to get away.
Everybody was yelling. And
what'd you say?
I told him that if he touched her again, that I was going to drop him.
Okay. Then what?
Yeah.
Take a deep breath.
I was walking backwards, and Miranda was yelling, and then he laughed at me and asked if I was mad enough. And I just remember trying to get away. I was pushing Miranda towards the door, and I looked back to the doorway to try to get away because we were in the corner of the house. And when I looked back at the doorway, I heard her scream stop. And I looked up, and he was in front of me. And he was running at me, and he had his hand up. And then he grabbed the top of my weapon. And I don't know how it got to me so fast. But it went off. And I just remember pushing Miranda backwards and trying to jump on top of her. And I don't know.
How many times did you pull the trigger, Sean? Mr. Foley.
8 times, I think, is what they said.
After Sean shot him, he called 911. Then he tried to get Miranda to follow him away from Jimmy.
I was afraid he'd still get up and come after us.
Did you think he was going to kill you?
Yes.
Why?
I just saw him trying to rape her. And I told him I was recording. And then he ran at me. He charged at me.
What were you recording?
I was recording him saying that he had raped her when she was a kid.
You thought he was going to kill you because of that?
He had pointed at me in the past.
Prosecutors then had their opportunity to cross-examine Sean.
You said you were bothered by the fact that Jimmy Shelton asked Miranda about performing a sex act with another girl, right?
Yes.
And in fact, you have pictures of Miranda in a sex act with another girl on your phone, don't you?
Correct.
And you were bothered by the fact that Jimmy Shelton would be exploiting Miranda, right?
Correct.
For sex, right?
Correct.
And in fact, you were exploiting Miranda for sex. Didn't you record the two of you having sex together?
They were personal videos.
And she sold it, didn't she?
She sold them, yes.
And you put on Facebook that you were okay with it, didn't you?
I made one post, correct?
She asked him if he was surprised by the conversation he overheard between Jimmy and Miranda that night. Sean said he was guarded.
Jimmy says, 29 seconds into the beginning of the recording is, and let me pay for an hour. Did you hear that?
Yes, ma'am.
And did you hear Miranda say, I can arrange it, trust me, I'm about money?
I believe so, yes, ma'am.
And then Jimmy says, it got bad enough in the last month. I would say for you and one of your friends, Miranda says, and friends. And Jimmy says, I'd do $300 for two of you for an hour. And Miranda says, oh, we've got to check this out. Is that accurate?
That was on the recording.
Is that accurately what you heard?
Yes, it was on the recording.
What about that tells you there's something between the two of them that she's not consenting to?
She was really drunk, maybe.
What about their conversation indicates to you that this was not consensual?
Further in on the conversation.
I'm asking you about this part of it, Mr. Foley.
They're just talking at this point. There's no rape or sexual assault going on.
So you're saying that I'd do $300 for two of you for an hour, and her response, oh, I got to check this out, is not a consensual conversation.
Between a stepdad that raped a child.
In the recording, Jimmy goes on to say, just the two of you, you two on each other. Miranda says to Jimmy, you've done nothing but try to do right by me, and I will not deny that, and try to make up for what you've done. Miranda then goes on to say, all right, what are you fetching for? Jimmy says, you want to play? Later, Miranda says, we can arrange something. They talk about arranging something in exchange for a car. At one point, Jimmy says, I just don't want this to get back to your mother. Miranda assures him she can make sure of that. Prosecutors say this conversation sounds consensual. They asked Sean why he didn't stop this conversation if he thought that it wasn't. Sean said he was terrified. Prosecutors pointed out that Sean had a gun on him. Sean said he always carries a gun concealed in his waistband.
And the gun that was introduced earlier into evidence in this case, that's your gun?
Yes, ma'am.
That's the one you had?
Yes, ma'am.
And you had it on your person?
Yes, ma'am.
And what? It's, what, 6 o'clock in the morning?
I believe so, yes, ma'am.
And you're terrified?
Yes, ma'am.
While you're standing inside the house hidden?
He told me to be away.
You're terrified while you're standing inside the house, hidden, peeking out the window?
I'm still scared.
She's an adult. She's 25 years old, right?
Yes, ma'am.
She's perfectly capable of making her own decisions about what she does with her body, isn't she?
Sober.
And she's here today and testified that she didn't need your help that night.
That's what she said.
And that's exactly what she said. And did you hear her on the recording? You were there, but you also heard the recording, right?
Yes, ma'am.
The prosecutor played the moment of the shooting again so she could point out to Sean how many times Miranda told him to stop.
How many times did you hear there? Do you want me to help you? It's 6. Did you hear 6 times of her saying, Sean, stop, 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 stop?
I heard her say, Sean, stop, and then stop, stop.
She next played the portion of the recording immediately following the shooting, where Miranda asks him, "What did you do?"
Does that sound like somebody who appreciated that you just shot some guy on his own porch?
He charged me after he tried to draw.
Mr. Foley, when you first come out onto the porch, you don't initially say to her or to anybody else that he charged you, do you?
He charged
What you initially say is he was raping you, he was molesting you, right?
That's why I went outside.
That's not accurate at all, is it?
That's why I went outside. She tried to get up and he pulled her back down.
Sean was in the military for about 6 months. His discharge reason is listed as personality disorder. Sean said he was depressed because he had fractured his femur. He didn't have any handgun training during his time in the military, but he did take a handgun safety training class for his carry permit. Sean said he had known for a while about the accusations against Jimmy. Regardless, he brought his 4-year-old daughter over to the house to sleep there. Sean said that on the night of the shooting, when Jimmy got off work, he saw Jimmy take his gun out from his truck and put it in his pocket. Sean was asked about another time he had made an incriminating recording. He testified that he had previously recorded Miranda's ex-boyfriend after he beat her and put her in the hospital. Sean recorded the ex-boyfriend saying he got mad and beat the shit out of her. Police told him that they would investigate, and if needed, they would get the video from him.
So you had this person who literally beat her so bad she had to go to the hospital to shoot that guy?
Sean said he saw Jimmy reaching for his right pocket. He thought he was trying to draw his gun. And that's when Sean said he drew his gun. He said he kept trying to leave, but that Jimmy charged him and tried to take his gun. The prosecutor asked Sean where his injuries were from when Jimmy tried to kill him. She also pointed out that Jimmy did not, in fact, have a gun on him that night.
Truth of the matter is, you really wanted to shoot him, didn't you?
No, ma'am.
You didn't?
No, ma'am.
Oh, come on, Mr. Foley. You thought he was raping your girlfriend. Surely you wanted to shoot him.
No, ma'am.
You expect them to believe you didn't want to kill him when you walked out there and said, "I swear to fucking God." What did you mean when you say, "I swear to effing God"?
I don't know.
Doesn't that just beg to have completed, "I'm gonna kill you"?
No, ma'am.
She played part of the recording again.
You didn't want to shoot him when you said, "I will effing drop you."
It doesn't mean to kill, ma'am. It means to stop.
You're pointing a gun at him, Mr. Foley.
At this point, this is when he lunged, when he shifted. I thought he was trying to kill me. I had just walked out on him raping her.
Except that he wasn't, was he?
He was.
In the hours after the shooting, investigators tested Sean's blood alcohol level. It came back as 0.04. Finally, the prosecution finished their cross-examination by pointing out how Sean himself was treating Miranda on the 911 call.
Yeah, you're talking to her quite awful, as a matter of fact, aren't you?
I'm freaking out, ma'am.
You're sort of talking to her like a dog, aren't you?
No, ma'am, I was freaking out.
Come, Miranda. Come, Miranda. Isn't that how you're talking to her?
Not quite.
Come here. Really?
So would the jury feel sympathy for Sean after hearing his testimony? Or would they convict him of first-degree murder? On Law and Crime, the experts weighed in. Cheryl Dorsey, a former sergeant with the LAPD, brought up the size factor, noting that Jimmy was significantly bigger than Sean.
And when we take into consideration the size of Mr. Foley versus Shelton, 6'2", 6'3", 220 pounds, he's advancing on him aggressively, almost, you know, like a bear coming at a little kid, because this Foley guy looks like a child. It might seem reasonable to the jury that he would need to use a gun to get this big guy off him.
But would it? The defense also wasn't through presenting their case yet. They had one more trick up their sleeve. The defense recalled Miranda to the stand. This time, she was their witness. Miranda had given two prior statements in the case, and she had also testified for the prosecution.
Ms. Cutter, were you too intoxicated to remember what happened?
Yes.
Ms. Cutter, did you need Sean's protection?
No.
Were you being molested?
No.
On August 28th?
No.
All right, at this time, I'd like to introduce...
The defense wanted to introduce something into evidence, and the prosecution objected. At this point, the jury left the courtroom. Sean's defense team wanted to show Miranda a prior statement she had given, one much closer in time to the actual shooting. They wanted to use this to show that her testimony was inconsistent with what she previously said, and they wanted to use it to impeach her as their witness. Around 6:35 a.m. on the day of the shooting, deputies placed Miranda in the back of a police car. While she sat there in the back seat, Miranda pleaded with the officers. She likely didn't know that she was being recorded by a camera in the car.
He was only trying to protect me! Please! He was trying to molest me! Please! Please! He wasn't drunk! He wasn't anything! He was trying to pressure me! Please! Sean was trying to protect me! Jimmy was trying to fucking molest me and make deals again!
Miranda said that she didn't want Jimmy dead, but that Sean was just trying to protect her. After Miranda listened to this recording, the jury was brought back into the courtroom and her direct examination resumed.
Ms. Carter, did you ever say that Jimmy had molested you on the 28th?
Yes, I did say that.
Okay. In the back of the police car? Is that where you were when you said it?
Yes, it was.
Did you ever say that Sean was that Sean was protecting you?
Yes, I did say that.
Prosecutors then had another chance to question Miranda.
What were you saying Sean was protecting you from?
Jimmy.
Okay. Did at some point you tell the detectives that he was protecting you from yourself?
Yes, I did.
Why did you say in the back of the police car that he was molesting you?
Trauma? I don't know.
After both sides rested, closing arguments began.
He shot and killed Jimmy Shelton, an unarmed man, no weapon of any kind, on Mr. Shelton's own back porch, without provocation, after laying in wait, after sneaking around, after listening, after recording, after narrating for 22 minutes and 47 seconds. He committed first degree premeditated murder on August 28th of 2015.
Prosecutor Tracy Jenkins told the jury that Jimmy's death was an unlawful killing. She said it was not vigilante justice. According to Jenkins, it's not reasonable for Sean to have been shocked by anything that was going on between Miranda and Jimmy. He knew about her past and knew about her work. His use of deadly force, she said, was not justified.
According to him, Jimmy Shelton's exploiting her and he's going to have to kill Jimmy Shelton in self-defense, if you believe his story, because he's exploiting her. He's exploiting her. That's what this whole thing's about. He knows what she's doing. He's letting her do it. He's sitting in there listening. And he's recording it because he's going to use it as a contingency when he goes out and shoots him. He's using Miranda. He is. The defendant is.
Next, defense attorney Aaron Kimsey addressed the jury. He said Miranda's testimony first went one way, where she said she didn't need any help that night. But then she said that she was being molested and that Sean was just protecting her. He said the state left out the part where Miranda went to get off Jimmy's lap and he pulled her back down and then put his hand down her pants. He also said the DNA report shows two people's DNA on the gun. He said there was no animosity between Sean and Jimmy before this, that the jury can hear for themselves that Jimmy attacked him. He told the jury that Jimmy wanted to secure that recording because he had just confessed to molesting Miranda since she was 12 years old. He was going to kill my client, he said. He was going to kill Miranda. The prosecution got the final word. Ryan Desmond gave the rebuttal arguments on behalf of the state. He admitted what happened between Miranda and Jimmy was distasteful, but it was lawful, he said. He said they were both consenting adults who were not blood related. He said self-defense in this case just doesn't fly. He also said it doesn't matter if Jimmy charged Sean.
Jimmy can defend himself too. Jimmy has a right not to just sit there and die. So even if you believe that Jimmy Shelton went at the defendant, he was justified in doing so. And it was his actions that provoked Jimmy Shelton to do that. It was him pointing a gun and said, I'm going to drop you. If that's not provocation, I don't know what is.
Then the jury went into deliberations. They deliberated for more than 12 hours over 2 days. Finally, they reached a verdict.
As to the count of guilty of first-degree murder of Jimmy Shelton, has the jury reached a unanimous verdict as to that count?
Yes.
Okay, and what is your verdict as to that count?
Not guilty.
As to the lesser-included charge of second-degree murder, has the jury reached a unanimous verdict?
No, ma'am.
And as the jury foreperson, do you believe you are hopelessly deadlocked as to the count of second-degree murder?
I do believe we are.
And you would not be assisted by any other deliberations?
No, ma'am.
They found Sean not guilty of first-degree murder, but they all agreed that they were deadlocked and unable to reach a unanimous verdict as to the count of second-degree murder. The judge thanked the jurors for their service, and then they were excused.
The jury, having returned a unanimous verdict of not guilty to premeditated first-degree murder, and then having reported unanimously that they are unable to reach a decision as to the count of second-degree murder, this court has no other choice than to declare a mistrial in this matter.
And so the judge declared a mistrial. Would Sean be retried for the second-degree murder charge? The answer is no. After his trial, Sean reached a deal with prosecutors. On September 13th, 2019, he pleaded guilty to voluntary manslaughter. In November 2019, Sean was sentenced to 5 years and 6 months in prison. He will be credited for time served. And that's all for today's episode. Let me know what you think about this case. How would you have voted if you were a juror? Do you think Sean's sentence was fair? Let me know by joining the conversation on Instagram at Court Junkie, by tweeting me at Court Junkie Pod, or by emailing me at podcast@courtjunkie.com. This episode was researched and written by Jennifer Tintner from the Law and Crime Network. You can follow Jennifer on Twitter at Jennifer Tintner. To find out how to hear these episodes ad-free and to check out some other additional content and perks that help support this podcast, go to courtjunkie.com/support. Thanks again for listening. Until next time.